Welcome to Answers Unleashed, a talk show to help you reshape your brain with science and faith to find the answers in front of you. Congratulations, you are tuning in. This is our second season now on Answers Unleashed. And I'm so excited because we did great episodes last season. We had great entrepreneurs on the show. We had people talking about the power of faith. We had looking at how kinesiology actually can change the way people operate. We looked at so many different aspects. We had TED speakers on. We had individuals talking about how to get through college successfully. And now this is our second season. Yay! I feel like clapping over here. Yay! This is our second season, and our second season deals with, are you ready? Drum roll, failure. How sexy failure can be. I know you're freaking out, like, what is she talking about? Failure. This episode and this season is about seeing how what we thought was going to be the answer, the pathway that we thought was going to be correct, actually wasn't. And it's through the failing process that catapults us to where we need to go on our path to success. Failures bring us freedom. So, that's what we're going to talk about today. Failure brings us freedom. How often do you remember your own failures? And how often are you actually happy about them? Failure can create two types of outcomes. Constant distraction from your own success and innovative opportunities. Or it can give you an idea of where you need to go in order to get to everything that you've always dreamed about doing. Now, today we're going to unlock the secret behind what failures actually mean and how to move forward with a new way of life after we totally embrace them. Now, as you know, the Answers Unleashed is a show about reshaping the brain with science and faith. And reshaping the brain is a part of reprogramming the brain. When we reshape the brain, it's because we create different belief systems that allow us to operate in a new way. And we talk about the brain and how it operates and how you can master your own brain function. So today's brain tip, and this is what I realized, and it's something that personally happened to me, and we're going to talk about this to completely understand how beneficial this is. At early ages, our brains are like sponges. We digest multiple ideas. We digest multiple theories. We encounter friends. We encounter parents. We encounter all the beliefs that are brought to us. And at very early ages, we're like a sponge. We pick up every single thing that's being introduced. And at that same time, we completely don't know what is accurate to us versus what's not. And it's through life that we encounter and experience these situations, especially as an adult, where we are challenged in the way that we are thinking to determine if we are actually in line with where we are desiring to go in life versus if we're staying stuck in a paradigm or an old way of belief that keeps us from moving forward. Now, when we go back and look at our failures, and when we go back and correct what we have done and rechange it, reshape it, redo it, correct it, that's when success comes. Success is never a straightforward path, ever. If you think it is, you are bound for a wake up in this particular episode. Success is never straight. If point A to point B, there's no such thing as a straight line there. And that actually comes from chaos theory mathematics. Chaos theory mathematics shows us that there's two points in life. There's two points in life, and this is in time and space mathematically. There's places in which you become stuck, and there's places in which you excel to the next point. Failure are those places. You can either become stuck or you can use it to excel to your next place in your life. And when you embrace this failure quickly, you can actually obtain the freedom that you're seeking in your life again. And this feeling of freedom attracts other successful events in your life. And of course, you know me, I'm a TED speaker. I talked about Reprogram Your Brain to Overcome Fear in the TED Talk that now has, I'm just so honored to say, 500,000 views so far. 500,000 people have watched that TED Talk, and I'm honored. And you, as you know, if you follow me, you know about all the different failures I have encountered in my own life. Despite being a successful person in science and in teaching and educating in these TED Talks, I encountered a whole lot of failures in my life. And I'm going to share with you my own personal story. The concept of failure and the importance of these mistakes came to me while I was teaching. And this is actually so funny. I was in the classroom and I was writing on the board, and I write mathematics. My job as a mathematics professor at the campuses I teach at, in Pierce College being one of them, is to show mathematics, show algebra, show calculus, show trigonometry, show any type of mathematics in which I am assigned to teach, so people can reshape their brains with that science. And you have to be completely focused when you're doing it. You have to be completely accurate in your calculations. You're writing things on the board continuously, and your brain is constantly working. You're thinking about, okay, what it is that I have to show, how am I going to explain it, how am I going to write it so it's clear, how am I going to translate it in English so it makes sense. And so your brain is constantly working, and so we are all humans. And the other day, I was writing on the board, and I did something that I have done before. I made a mistake. I wrote on the board the wrong answer. I did a miscalculation. Now, obviously, no human will ever be correct in calculating things all the time, 100%. But at that moment in time, I realized that what I wrote on the board was incorrect. So I did what I normally do in the type of situation. I corrected my error. I looked back at my students, and as I looked over my shoulder, I looked at my students and my eyes tilted, and I told them the truth, which is this. Oh, I made an error. I'm going to go back and correct it. When you fail, this is the truth. When you fail, that's actually an opportunity for you to go back and review your process and make adjustments. And it is so true. No great inventor knows how to immediately invent things and create things in their own lives and other people's lives straight off the bat. They constantly have to go through this failure process in order to find the right answer. So I looked back at my students. I said, I'm going to go back and I'm going to correct this, and I'm going to make this right so we can move on, so we can get the correct answer. And so I told my students that. And the truth is that if you are unwilling to go back and correct your answer or correct your process of thinking, you will not get the answer in which you are designed to get. You're not going to get the correct answer. Every great scientist and mathematician knows that in order to get the right answer, you've got to go back and correct the way in which you were thinking and make adjustments so you can actually have the answer which you are designed to have to move forward. And as I looked at my students, I told them that. But I'll tell you a secret, what happened with me. When I looked back at my students, I told them that. But I didn't feel it inside myself. I didn't feel that own truth inside of myself. And I started reevaluating. Here I am telling my students the truth. But am I believing it myself? Am I believing that when I make a mistake, it is okay? And that when I look back and I correct my mistake, am I also believing what it is that I'm telling the truth, which is failure is a part of the process of excelling and becoming an expert? And the answer was no. I was not honest with myself. I didn't believe what it was that I was saying. And so that made me reevaluate my own self and what was going through my own mind at that moment in time. And it made me recognize that the mistake came far, I thought a mistake came far before that moment I wrote on the board. It was coming far before that moment that I told the students that. It actually came from when I was a child. Now, I know other people who are listening to this will be able to relate. And for those that do not relate to this particular additional story I'm going to tell you, I know it will hit home to you. And for me, I realized that the feeling of making a mistake wasn't from a math problem. It was from a young girl. It was from my young girl experience. To give you a little bit of background about myself, I was raised by my mother only. My father was a very successful person at the time within the tech industry, and he didn't have the emotional capability of raising a child. And so he left my mother to raise me by myself. And I didn't recognize that in that moment in time, as being a child where I was absorbing all this information from the outside world, I was also absorbing the false error in thinking that I was the mistake. I was absorbing as a young child that I was the mistake, and that was the false thinking. And this false thinking stayed in my brain for a good 30 years. It didn't leave. And people don't come back and visit their mistakes and feel happy with them. And that's what I unknowingly realized that I was digesting in as a sponge, as an early person in life. I thought people don't come back and revisit their mistakes and feel happy about them. Makes you think, doesn't it? And in this process of going back and reevaluating myself and what I held true in my core were three truths in which I'm going to share with you today so you too can walk in a consciousness about what your life is about and how your past is going to merge together and work together towards a future in which you've designed for yourself. And the first truth is this: there's the sponge effect. When we are a child, everything is downloaded into us, and we have no idea which concepts are correct or which errors are there in thinking until we are adults where we go through tests. There's no idea which parts are true or what parts are false in our life until we experience things in life which are called tests. Now, I grew up thinking that I had to be perfect in order to be accepted, in order to be visited, in order to be appreciated. I had to be perfect. And that was the false thinking of I was the mistake. And this is a newsflash. No person on the face of the planet ever is perfect. If you were, you would not be alive. Every single person is designed to make mistakes because that is the process of where we are. But life is about finding the mistakes quickly, correcting them, and moving on. And as I was a young person, I didn't understand that concept. I didn't understand that concept. So as I grew up, I became frustrated as a child, and I became frustrated when someone drew a drawing better than I did. I remember going home crying, talking to my mother. Oh my gosh, Bianca drew something much better. The ballerina looked prettier. And then I remember I didn't feel the great. I didn't feel the greatest when my clothes were not the most perfect or the most expensive like the other rich kids that I was going to school with when I was bused into that area. And then when I failed algebra, geometry, and chemistry, that frustration grew larger because I thought that I equated my failing grades in math and science to be an equation of where I was, and that wasn't true. It wasn't true. And those of you that follow me know that's not true because I ended up launching 28 space missions to space. So this paradigm continued to follow in me as a career person. And I found myself drawn into careers where I was catching the mistakes. I was in an aerospace job where my job was to find things that was going to caused major mistakes that was going to explode the engine. Now, I found a way to channel this concept and this core belief of mistakes into an area that was productive. I found a way to work in aerospace, and I worked in reliability engineering, where I found the mistakes before they were created so we could launch successfully. And then a paradigm shift happened when I was 30 years old. And this shift changed the entire way in which I operated from that moment on. I left aerospace. I went into banking, only to determine that I loved science far more. When I left, I had a certain amount of money in my bank account, and I said, all right, I'll be able to get another job in aerospace in a matter of minutes. And then the economy tanked, and I couldn't find a job. No one could find a job. It wasn't just me, but no one could find a job. And I remember looking at myself thinking that I was a failure. So here that thought was when I was a child reoccurring in my own brain, and I thought that I was at that moment making a mistake. And the truth was this. Here's the second truth I'm going to share with you. You will always feel uncomfortable and distressed until you correct your faulty way of thinking. You will always feel anxiety. You will always feel distressed. You will always feel uncomfortable. You will always have a knot in your stomach until you correct the core belief system in which is inside of you. Now, the fear of failure manifests itself in so many areas in life. And I just run down a few, and I'm going to just break this down for you in the way in which you're going to get it and which way you're going to digest it, is that the fear of failure equals distraction. The fear of failure equals distraction. That kind of rhymes, doesn't it? The fear of failure equals distractions. The biggest thwart to the purpose of your life is distraction. I don't care what anyone says, the biggest enemy of yours is distraction. And we are really good at it. Each one of us are excellent at it. Distraction is the way that your brain attempts to not reprogram itself and reshape. It is the easy way out. Distraction is the way in which you will find the easy way out in order for you to become stuck. So, let me break down the types of distractions in which are in front of you. Have you ever checked your cell phone to see who texts you? Have you ever looked on social media to find out who liked your posts? Who liked your photos? Have you ever tweeted anything and find out how many other people tweeted it? Guess what? That's a distraction. The internet and cell phone, when we are constantly checking it to determine who is following us, who is liking us, who is wanting to know us, is a distraction. And I realized that when I was going through my own healing work, I personally would get on the computer all the time. What was happening on the news? What was doing this? And is there a way for me to know what was going on? I didn't recognize that being on the computer and being on the cell phone was a type of addiction. Addictions actually distract us from focusing on rechanging and reprogramming our core belief system. Being in a relationship. Have you ever been in a relationship with a person who makes you feel constantly uncomfortable? I know I have. And I couldn't put my finger on it. I didn't know that was the reason why I was feeling uncomfortable. We're often, sometimes, if we're in a relationship with people that are not concerned about our growth, we will feel stuck, and we will be in situations where we will feel uncomfortable talking to them, uncomfortable being on the phone with them, uncomfortable spending time with them, and we don't know why. We just know it just feels draining. That situation is a type of distraction. When we are in those situations, we think, oh, okay, well, I'll do this that's fun in the interim, but in reality, it keeps us from redefining who we are and what we think. This third distraction is self-explanatory, but I'll go into it a little bit deeper. Drugs. Any type of drugs. I don't care if it is illegal or legal. Anytime that we have to remove ourselves from reality to feel a different way is a distraction. Now, it's a different thing if it's occasional, let's say, for the adults out there, if it's a glass of wine, if it is going out and enjoying for the men out there, if it's a great cigar, if it is any type of way where you constantly have to turn to something on a daily basis just to feel normal, that is a distraction. And it can be it can even be prescription drugs, pain medicine that people are become addicted to pain medicine and they're legal. And anything that constantly you have to take in order to make you feel a certain way is a distraction, and it is symbolizing something core inside of you that is needing to change that maybe sometimes you're not aware of. Alcohol, having it all the time, is especially in social situations. If you go into social, this is a test for you. If you go into a social situation and recognize that you need an alcohol or need a drink, that's a sign that there's something in you that needs to change. Working a lot, house cleaning. If you feel that you constantly have to clean so things are spotless, or your place is completely messy so you constantly have to clean, that's a way of distracting you from the present. Exclusive spending and excessive spending. If you are constantly trying to buy things that you think that you need, that's a way of distraction. And lastly, seeking external appreciation in work or your appearance or your creation or social posts, that's another type of distraction. So when we are facing these type of things where we feel like we have to do it again, that's because something in our life is challenging us. Something in our life is testing us to determine what our core belief system is. For me, I had to recognize that my core belief system was not depending on another person or an organization to bring in income for myself. But it tested my truth inside of my core, knowing that I had the ability and the strength to bring in income in a way that far surpassed anything in which I ever encountered. And I owed it to myself to find out how I was going to do it. And every single thing else in my life that was distracted me from that was eventually removed. And the third truth is this. Discomfort leaves you once you face the error in thinking that was originally presented to you. The discomfort leaves you once you have the courage to face the error that was originally presented to you. For me, it was the error in thinking that I was the mistake. I wasn't the mistake. Rather, I was the blessing. I was the blessing brought into this world to change the way that people thought. And I was the blessing brought into this world to change the way my parents were. And I was the blessing brought into this world to change the way that life was. When you are filled with integrity, you have this urge to correct the error in thinking so you actually can move forward in your life. And the one biggest way that you can do this is from two ways. Apologizing when you're wrong and correcting this error for whatever it is, not for other people, but for yourself, and forgiving others who have hurt you or presented you with a false way of thinking. And tangibly, practically, you know me, I'm a practical person, not only theoretical, but practical. There's a tactical way you do it. Write a list. 3 columns. What happened to you? Identify it. How did it make you feel? Identify it. And lastly, what are you thankful for because it happened? For me, I failed math. It made me feel like a failure, but the tutoring allowed me to understand a new way of studying it so I could help other people. So you have an ability to look back on your past and identify the mistakes. And you, when you realize that the mistakes and failures are not failures, but rather they're ways for you to jump, not just move, but jump into your new core of being, that's when you are successful, and that's when you attract every single thing that you have designed for yourself. But you have to be honest with yourself, and you have to admit that when a mistake happens or your failure happens, that's really the blessing in disguise. Until next time, find us at kpcradio.com. You're always welcome to go to our website, answersunleashed.com. You can call us at 888-88-ANSWERS and ask us a question that we can answer here on air. And I look forward to hearing from you. Tune in to us next Wednesday at 12 noon on Answers Unleashed. I am Olympia LaPointe, reshaping your brain with science and faith to find the answers in front of you. I'll see you next time.